You're listening to Best Frequencies Forever.
No! They're all gonna laugh at you!
BFF.
Good morning. Oops. Still a little bit more to go. From head to toe. That was Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam with Head to Toe. You are listening to BFF.FM. And I'm Jessica, and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
And together we are TV on the Radio.
Yes.
The band TV on the Radio. And yeah, we played that song to kick off our Sunday morning.
Triumphant return to radio after taking last week off.
Yeah. Back, we're refreshed, and we are ready to talk about the Netflix original movie, The Meyerowitz Stories.
Yes. Quite a mouthful.
Yeah. The whole movie was quite a mouthful.
Yes.
Universally loved. I think it has like 213% on Rotten Tomatoes.
People really, really, really liked this movie.
Yeah. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, it was fine. I felt like it was fine. So much of 2017.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, I liked the movie. I thought it was delightful. It had some great moments. It, you know, a family drama that had some real, like, sparkling interplay between some of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of wonder if the, like, breathless praise is just like, we need something to like in 2017. Fucking desperate. I mean, the New York Times called Adam Sandler a revelation.
Yeah. There have been, I mean, fucking fleets could be launched on the think pieces about how Adam Sandler's actually a good actor, you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think a revelation is a word that we probably shouldn't use.
It's hackneyed
and
fucking lame to say anyone is a revelation.
I mean, do you really type Adam Sandler as a revelation and you're like, yep, good to go.
Yes.
Send it, print it.
Yeah.
I don't know how newspapers work.
It's like
you
the
guys,
Nazi but, thing in the New York Times.
Oh,
I was waiting
God.
To learn something about Adam Sandler. I didn't, but let's publish this piece about how he's a revelation.
You know, that Nazi piece thing is some real dark shit, but the Atlantic satire that immediately followed it was worth whatever degradation to society has been done by that Nazi normalizing dreck. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
We're here to talk about other average white men in New York.
There was a time around Punch Drunk Love and, you know, some other stuff. Funny People, I thought, was a very good movie where, you know, we really wanted Adam Sandler to be a serious actor.
Absolutely trying to make him work.
Yeah. And at that time, I was like, yeah, he's doing it. But in this movie, I was like, I don't know, Adam Sandler. You can go back to your fart movies now. Like,
yeah. Just
or put on some fucking pants.
Yes. Co-signed. Yeah. I think that Adam Sandler has an inherent, like, bone deep sadness to him that has been evident throughout his entire career, and people have tried to tap into that, but I think it's just like so inherent in who he is that it's not it's more of like it's a bug and not a function, like let him channel that into like the angry screamy Adam Sandler. Like I felt more emotion from Adam Sandler and Big Daddy learning to become a father than I did from Adam Sandler, like, trying to be serious.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying he's not a good actor. Like, I think he's fine, but there is a crushing sadness at that man's soul that is painful to watch. And sort of seeing just that mind is really hard to
Are you sure
watch.
It's not just the cargo shorts that make you sad?
It could be the cargo shorts and the limp. I was like, oh, just get that over with. Like, can we
I felt like the limp. So, I don't know. Should we premise this at all?
Yeah, let's talk a little
It's a family
bit
drama starring Adam Sandler, as you might have heard, Ben Stiller, the great Dustin Hoffman.
Emma Thompson,
like huge all-star A-list cast, and written and directed by Noah Baumbach.
Yeah.
And you know, New York family, dad self-absorbed, kids are sort of, everyone's got issues.
Yeah.
It's one of those New York movies.
Dustin Hoffman's a minor not celebrity, but like celebrated artist, but
kind of a never
like
was,
almost was
in the art world,
like a you know minor artist,
right?
And talking about having the kids are talking about, like, having a retrospective at some, like, community college upstate, basically. Mm-hmm.
Bard College.
Yeah.
Not quite community.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not what he had hoped for his career.
Yeah.
He's seen alongside his much, much more successful friend.
Played by Judd Hirsch.
Alex from Taxi. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Who's great.
But, always.
Yeah. Everyone's resentful about their not being recognized mm-hmm. for their talents. Yeah, I don't know why we had to plot summarize that movie.
It's just about streaming on Netflix. In New York, and as usual, there's three or four female characters who would have made a far more interesting story. but you know, that's not what Noah Baumbach's doing. But Greta Gerwig mm-hmm. is doing that apparently with Lady Bird. Lady Bird. I always want to call it Ladybug. I would like to see, have not yet seen, but has also received rapturous praise. And it's nice just to see a woman's work receiving rapturous praise in 2017.
Yeah.
More of that, please.
Yeah. So this movie, I forget the actor's name who plays Jean, the sister, but she's sort of a character in the background for most of the film.
Yeah, she's the invisible sibling, essentially.
Until we get to her story at the end, which is presented in a parenthetical, which I thought, of course, sisters in the parentheses. I don't know. I'm all over the place. Do we have anything else to say about Adam Sandler before we move on to Ben
Stiller? Thought he was good. I mean, I thought he was good. I feel like Adam Sandler is fine. He can be an actor. Like, he's fine. But I'm over trying to make him happen. Let's move on to someone else, you guys.
Yeah. I think he had some good moments in this movie. I think, unfortunately, he was tasked with a lot of exposition. Mm-hmm. Like, his character, they couldn't come up with creative ways to let us know what his backstory is and why he's here. And so there were a lot of conversations, like, with his daughter, where he's like, well, now that your mother and I are divorced, and we've sold the house, and I'm getting half the money from the house, so that's fine, but I am going to have to get
a
job
soon. I'm going to have to stay here with Grandpa
exactly.
for a while.
Okay, we got it.
Yes, I agree. He was tasked with a lot of exposition.
Which, I guess that's not his fault, but...
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Let's move on to Ben Stiller as the half-sibling, mm-hmm. who Adam Sandler and Jean, the sister, were the kids from the first marriage.
Right.
Or, I don't know, maybe second marriage, whatever. Something. Who were essentially ignored by Dustin Hoffman all their life, despite mm-hmm. being the ones who've always been there and always shown up. And then Ben Stiller is their half-brother from Dustin Hoffman's next marriage to a delightful Candace Bergen.
Oh, yeah. She was great.
And Ben Stiller was the one who was doted on and mm-hmm. was the favorite and is now this, financial entertainment lawyer or something.
Accountant. Business planner. Business
something
manager.
Money related in LA.
They don't want to say accountant in the family.
Yeah. Having moved all the way across the country and... sort of, you know, abandoned his dad's request that all the kids be artistic.
Right.
And has gone in this other direction. And let me first say that Ben Stiller, who I sort of considered a peer with Adam Sandler, right, I guess? Mm-hmm. Like, were they at that... I don't know. Were they of the same moment or was Zoolander different?
I don't think of them... I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, I think their careers went pretty divergent.
Yeah. So I don't know if Ben Stiller has just grown into his face or has had, like, a whole team of people, like, handsoming him up over the last few years.
Oh, I've always found him very handsome.
But, no, I find I've never, ever found Ben Stiller attractive until maybe the last 3 years. I think he's had, like, a whole team working to handsome him up.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You think it's just innate, like he's just a handsome man.
I just think he's a handsome man,
face. You cannot look at a poster from Zoolander and say, like, yeah, that's a handsome man.
That was extremely, a really, 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 really good-looking man.
Okay.
I mean, that's a little different, but anyway.
Yeah.
I found his interaction with Dustin Hoffman the most compelling.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I sort of consider, like... So Adam Sandler had his niche of his, like, rage scream mm-hmm. movies, and that was his shtick, right? And Ben Stiller had his, like, ridiculous movies,
right?
And that was his shtick. And I just feel like the difference in, like, emotional depth between the two is really, really apparent. Like, yeah. Same thing. I found that the Ben Stiller stuff, even the Ben Stiller stuff with Adam Sandler, I found to be more emotional than anything.
Yeah, I think Ben Stiller does simmering rage a little better, maybe because he doesn't scream, but you can tell he wants to scream.
Yeah.
But yeah, we start off with a little bit more exposition with him. He is advising his client, the delightful Adam Driver, who he always delighted to see his face.
I feel like Netflix just hands bags of money to, like, anyone who just, like, hoves into view on a film set. Like, Adam Driver, they're like, oh, like, Adam Driver came to visit, let's say, I don't know, the girl who's playing the daughter, who's potentially Adam Driver's real-life girlfriend. Fake news, you guys. I'm just making this up. But I'm saying that Adam Driver maybe just happened to be on a sound set or walking down the street in New York, and they're like, hey, Adam Driver would be really great for this.
Yeah.
I feel like Netflix is just like, here's another bag of money. Right. Sure.
Yeah. But he's talking about how he's going to see his family, and his dad used to really bother him. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't let it bother him anymore the way his dad is. Mm-hmm. And then we see them having lunch, and his dad immediately sets him off with his, like, fucking dad behavior. And I thought that was great. It was like, it felt like a really true depiction to me of how, like, you can intellectualize your family's behavior and understand there's nothing you can do to control it and say it's not going to get to you. And then it always fucking gets to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I thought Dustin Hoffman did such a great job of being that sort of annoying dad. Like, they have lunch reservations at 1 p.m., but he shows up 45 minutes to the restaurant, 45 minutes early anyway, and then is annoyed that they won't seat him without the rest of his party.
And then it turns into a whole fucking thing. Else, and then has to leave to put money in the meter.
Right.
And accuses a guy of stealing his jacket and the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah. And he's one of those guys who goes through his life monologuing at people and not listening to anyone whatsoever. And Dustin Hoffman, also sexual harasser.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at this point, we should make a list of people who are not sexual harassers.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it all, you know, the graduate, when he met, what's her name? He just grabbed her ass to loosen her up a little bit.
Ew.
And he did the same thing with Meryl Streep, and that's why she's never liked him.
Oh,
and
God.
So, yeah, it's just
great.
And Dustin Hoffman does fall into that, like, it was a different time. Like, all these stories came out about men being sexual harassers, and he's like, I used to grab people's ass all the time.
God.
Like, not even aware of the fact that, like,
great.
Not cool, Dustin.
Well, I loved him in this movie and was just about to, like, be ready for a personal Dustin Hoffman renaissance, but I guess I can cancel that. It's great. That's great news, actually.
You can
I love not doing stuff.
I feel, I don't know. Let's not get into a whole, what do we do with these artists?
Oh, God, yeah.
And also, degrees of abuse, blah blah blah, whatever. It's garbage here, guys, garbage. I overall enjoyed the movie. I think it's interesting that Noah Baumbach is so heralded as this, like, visionary director and, you know, creator of movies, when I think all of his movies are the exact same.
Oh,
it's
really
all about, like, some intellectual and some, like, interpersonal problems that, you know, result. I just think it's all that mumblecore, like, people trying to express their feelings and failing at it, which is fine, but I don't need to see it 12 times. Like, branch out, Noah Baumbach.
You want to see his, like, action adventure?
I want to see adventure. His fucking take on Transformers or whatever. Like, let's get the next Transformers directed by Noah Baumbach. Have Bumblebee say, well, I just feel like, you know, Optimus Prime never loved me as much as he loved whoever.
I think you are really onto something, and that there should be some sort of, like, auteur exchange program, like,
absolutely,
where you trade genres with someone, and then Michael Bay can make, like, a family drama about a bunch of New York liberals who never have spoken openly about their problems.
This is
a really great fucking idea.
I would love to see Noah Baumbach's take on Transformers, Revenge of the whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the next one's going to be.
Okay.
How
do we, like, make this happen? Do we write to the Academy?
Yeah. We'll just start. We'll just have the Leah and Jessica Oter, exchange program.
Okay.
Yeah.
People can apply to
us.
Yeah,
people can just apply and we'll assign them a movie. Yeah, we'll assign them a genre.
Okay. I think that's a great idea.
Rob Zombie, you are doing rom-com.
Oh my God.
I think Rob Zombie
He should do a Lifetime movie.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's write that one down.
I think we've really hit on something.
I think so too. I don't know. What else? Emma Thompson, another person who I'm always delighted to see. She was great in this movie.
She's amazing in everything. Emma Thompson, on the show a few weeks ago, we were talking, I think it was during our Transparent show, we talked about which famous person you'd like to be in a throuple with.
Mm-hmm.
And
you brought up
Emma Thompson. I said Emma Thompson just because I feel like I feel like every encounter with Emma Thompson, you just learn so much.
Yeah.
And I stand by that. Yeah. She is delightful and embodied this hippie out to lunch.
Yeah.
Artsy, pretentious asshole.
Always drunk.
Always drunk.
She
terrible cook who casually mentions her old lover.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe. That line set. I mean, the movie, I think one of the strong points is it just had some great lines.
Uh-huh.
And that was they had just met this gay couple who was thinking about buying their house. And she said one of them, he has a baby face, but he's very sinewy, just like one of my old lovers, Willem Dafoe. My former lovers.
Yes.
And that, I think, line really sums her up.
She's great. Yeah. And even the affectation of she calls Dustin Hoffman the dad. You think it's to all the kids, but then that's just how she refers to him as the dad.
Oh, yeah.
And in the canon of her life, when she's cataloging all her ex-lovers, it's going to be the dad. Great. Great.
Yeah. She was great. The part when Harold, Dustin Hoffman's character, ends up in the hospital and she's out to lunch, but also the doctors can only give her information and the kids know nothing. And she's just wielding this power in a very strange way. I don't know.
She's great.
If you guys have any thoughts about the Meyerowitz stories, any stories about your acting job with Dustin Hoffman.
If you'd like to tell me about Lady Bird, if you've seen it, I'm interested in that. Bringing up Lady Bird, by the way, because Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach are a real life couple.
Yes.
And this is possibly only interesting to me, but I received a text from you this week, Jessica, saying that Noah Baumbach is very handsome. Did we know that?
Yeah.
And I had no idea. And I realized at that point that in my mind, I feel like while I know they're two separate people, I have conflated Noah Baumbach and Noah Emmerich for years.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that Greta Gerwig was with Noah Emmerich.
Who's Noah Emmerich?
He's that tall, redheaded actor who's got a thing. You'd know him from something. He's in The Americans, which I know you don't watch. But so I thought that was Noah Baumbach. And
interesting.
I was I don't really see the... Nothing against Noah Emmerich.
Glad I could clear that
Noah
up for
Emmerich,
you.
But...
Oh, that guy.
Yeah,
he is handsome.
Not in a Noah Baumbach way, but...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So anyway.
That's
a total
aside. As I was saying, if you have thoughts, you can tweet them at us. We are at BFFTV on the radio on Twitter. If you guys were talking about a family drama, if you had any family drama over Thanksgiving,
please, love to hear that.
You need to get it out. You need to put anyone on blast. We can do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Please share your thoughts.
Yeah. Have you had any, I think one of the things I did enjoy about this movie and sort of the whole Noah Baumbach genre is that it's not ever something where things are easily resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never really that moment of everybody understands each other. We've all cleared the air and now we can move on. And I like about this movie how the dad ends up in, he ends up in hospital with this brain injury and the kids all come together and rally around it. And I like how it was just sort of this pedestrian thing for them to do that and really did a good job at portraying that. And then, at the end, it sort of brings them a little bit closer, but not like it's not like everything's magically like wallpapered over and now they're all their lives are totally different, as is so often the case in movies. And in a few weeks, we're going to do a Lifetime show.
Oh,
and
God, I can't wait.
That's when everybody's lives are solved within 90 minutes. And then things are totally different. And that has its place, too, you guys.
Yeah.
But I do sort of appreciate that it's, like, he's still kind of an asshole at the end. Like the Dustin Hoffman character.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the epiphany, is that they realize that they come to, I think, value their sibling relationships in a way that they had completely abandoned because they were so messed up by their dads.
Tied up in all the stuff about your dad.
The whole hospital sequence I thought was so perfect and well done. Like the way it's so confusing and weird being in a hospital, and it's like you're either trying to interpret information you don't understand from doctors, or like you're asking doctors questions like, will he be okay? Like expecting there to be an answer to that question. I loved how they got really attached to that one nurse that was first that taking care of
that was really great. And then hijacked her in the hallway later and she's blankly staring
does
at
not
them. Like,
remember
that's
who they
great.
Are.
Like, you're just another shift. It was all that was really well done. And also, you know, the way Ben Stiller is like, we have to take notes on everything. Yeah. And then it's like, they gave him this attempt, you know, and that sort of is the rhythm of like a situation like that, where you're caring for someone or just sitting there helplessly,
right,
where you're trying to wrest some control back from an uncontrollable situation.
My favorite scene in the movie is after, when we finally get to Gene's story, in parentheses, and one of their dad's friends comes to visit him in the hospital, and it comes out that this guy, like, pulled a Louis C.K. on Jean when she was a very young girl. And then, so Ben Stiller and Adam Sandler decide to go, like, wreck this guy's car, even though he's, like, 88 years old now and is got dementia. And the scene of them, like, impotently hitting this car, like, with a stick that breaks, and the car is completely undamaged. I think Adam Sandler's best moment was crawling onto the hood of the car with his, like, bad hip and then trying to stomp on the car.
Yes. That whole scene was absolutely hilarious.
I laughed so hard.
And the part, even before that, where, so this guy arrives and Gene all of a sudden just goes running across the parking lot, and they both look back and they're like, I don't think I've ever seen Gene run before. Yeah, that's how she runs. Yeah. Just the pedestrian, like, stupid shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're so, like, happy with themselves. Like, they feel like they've solved this fucking problem for her, and they tell her, they, like, show her the, like, scratched car, and she's like, I'm glad you guys feel better about this, but unfortunately, I'm still fucked up.
Yeah.
It's just so perfect for, like, two men to think that their male brutality can solve some, like, past male brutality that's...
Thanks, guys. Yeah. And also, it's funny because it's like, you probably just wrecked the guy's, like, caregiver's car.
Right.
Like, his Honda Accord that he personally uses to, like, get places.
Yeah.
You know, it's not...
Yeah. Thanks, dudes. Okay, let's go to a song. We're also going to talk about the many things we're thankful for in 2017. So I'm going to play a song.
Yeah, if you guys have your list of things you're thankful for, we would love to hear it, because in this garbage fire of a year, we need, you know, we need to be grateful for things, right?
Yeah. Please feel free to join our conversation after the song. We will be back.
Law's got a crooked tooth. Every traffic light is red when it tells the truth. The church bell isn't kidding when it cries for you. Nobody looks away when the sun goes down. Takes you where it will. Someone's singing on the far forsake to bury all the time I've killed. Nobody looks away when the sun goes down. There's a couple ways to cross Thomas County line. See beyond the trees, they're too tall and wide. And I never seem to see around my brother's wife. Nobody looks away when the sun goes down. There are castles for kings, there are birds without wings. I could whine about it all, but I won't. Thomas County Law's got a crooked tooth. There ain't a mother with a heart less than black and blue. When they hold them to the light, you can see right through. Every dreamer falls asleep in their dancing shoes. I may say I don't belong here, but I know I do. Nobody looks away when the sun goes down.
All right, welcome back to TV on the Radio. That was Thomas County Law from this year's new Iron and Wine record, Beast mm-hmm. Epic, which I love that record. It's the first Iron and Wine record I've been into in a long time. It's really great.
It's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah.
It did almost put me to sleep, but it's beautiful.
That's just Iron and Wine, you know. Very soothing. Mm-hmm. I can use some soothing in my life
this
year.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, a few more things about the Meyerowitz stories. I have some questions for you, Leah.
Yes.
Would you take a mystery drug from Adam Driver's pants pocket?
Absolutely.
Okay, me too. Mm-hmm. We're agreed. Is there anything more relatable than your parents constantly telling you to get your stuff out of the garage before they throw it away?
No, there is nothing more relatable than that. Yes.
Okay. Is Matthew Ben Stiller, Matthew's unseen FaceTime son, mm-hmm. Tony, the creepiest fucking character in the history of cinema?
Clearly a future serial killer.
I am convinced that that character was based on Tony from The Shining.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if ninjas are your favorite thing.
Yeah, there was a...
It must have been fun writing his line.
Yeah, there was kind of a throwaway thing, too, where he... Was he talking to Adam Sandler about this, or was he talking to Dustin Hoffman about how he's like, oh, part of me is just thinking, like, I should just, like, do away with this kid and start over. Like, just abandon and start all over again.
Like,
and
come back.
Like, he stayed with the mom, even though the relationship wasn't really working,
right.
Like, because she was pregnant. And he's like, it's just not really working.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I should just, like, have a do-over, which, of course, is your, like, response when that's your dad's thing. Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that kid's lines were, like, worth the price of entry to the film. He was, like, talking about the handyman or something, and Matthew's, like, trying to figure out who this handyman is. And he's like, wait, does he sleep there? And the kid's like, he doesn't sleep. He stays up all night eating dinner with mommy.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what the fuck? And then he's always saying, I'm going to push the button. Like, hang up the call.
Yep.
Jesus.
Nailed it.
How many group hugs do you estimate were in this film?
Like, during the filming of this film?
Or? Just, like, in the film.
I don't remember.
There were 92. I'm just kidding.
I don't remember any group
hugs. Oh, there was a lot of group
other
hugs.
Other than the siblings.
Yeah.
When Jean reveals her story. But
yeah, there was more.
I don't remember any other ones.
Okay.
Was there a group hug with Emma Thompson at some point? Because I feel like that's the only one that would have been memorable to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this movie just felt like a group hug.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. That's an accurate assessment. It's sort of like we're all fucked up, but it's okay.
Yeah. Fuck, Marry, Kill. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ben Stiller, Dustin Hoffman, Adam Sandler.
Oh, God. Okay, well, I don't even know. I'm going to fuck and marry Ben Stiller, and then the other two. Just kill them both.
Okay, that's cheating.
Put them out of their misery.
Sure.
It's 2017, Jess. Anything goes. There's no cheating anymore.
Okay. Anything else to say about the Meyerowitz stories? Oh, do you think Eliza's film career is going to take off?
Yeah, absolutely. That was revelatory. So the kid, Adam Sandler's kid, who's shown as the he's been a stay-at-home dad all these years, mm-hmm. and it's like he and his daughter have a very nice relationship, and they're totally not going to have any issues later in life or whatever. But she goes to college and is making these movies that are all very like experimental art house, mm-hmm. like highly sexualized movies. And I love that about how like the whole family is standing around, and they're all such like artsy posers that they all have to be like, I really like the use of light in that scene, and nobody's commenting on the like graphic sex and all.
Yeah.
And it's great. And I loved how at the end, like, Jean has been in five of her seven movies, and Jean got a sassy haircut from her cool boyfriend. Yeah. And I sort of liked, again, the women characters in this would have been 10 times more interesting to focus on. That kid's obviously going places, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'd want to go to her film festival, but I have high hopes for her. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, I think, again, I mean, I thought this was fine, and it was totally a grand way to pass 2 hours or however long it was. But it's funny because since then, my husband has been like, you know, the more I think about that movie, the more I really like it.
Yeah.
And I haven't had that experience. And I'm not saying at all that he's a poser. I'm saying that, like, maybe there's something that just, like, that repressed male, like, bonding thing that speaks to men in a way it doesn't speak to me. Like, maybe there's something, more powerful about Noah Baumbach's work.
I mean, I'm kind of with him. I watched it, and I think I was initially just put off by the sort of tone and the talkiness and some of what I felt mm-hmm. was way too expository dialogue. But the more I thought about it, like, the more I liked the nuance and the interplay between the characters.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a strong recommend for me.
Yeah, that's what Noah Baumbach does well is, you know, he makes memorable characters. Although I don't remember anything about The Squid and the Whale. This movie he made memorable characters.
I remember liking The Squid and the Whale, but that is all I remember about it.
I remember not like...
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I will also say that Adam Sandler gets to do his fucking jokey songs movie.
Yeah.
And we all need to, as a society, stand up against the tyranny of Adam Sandler stating that he should be allowed to do jokey fucking songs anymore.
Like, yeah.
That you have aged out of, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I feel like we could have done with a little less of that. Like mm-hmm. one or two and having them shorter.
Well, it was also sort of incongruous with the story. Like his one about his daughter, like, was cute to establish that they were like, that they made their own family and they were, you know, it was cute and jokey. But yeah, I didn't need the one about how like his dad got somebody else's name wrong and like.
And they had to do that one twice, which mm-hmm. was annoying. We got a tweet from listener Steven. Hi, Steven. Who says about our new genre director exchange program. Mm-hmm. The conflict is, will Optimus Prime show up at Bumblebee's first poetry reading or continue to withhold his approval? I like it.
Yeah, my response was that Optimus Prime will show up and do an impromptu reading at the urging of the crowd, and then they'll run out of time for Bumblebee's poem. Oh. That's probably how
this movie's already crushing the sad to me. Tearjerker.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, this was Thanksgiving this past Thursday, and I think we can extend the gratitude through to at least Sunday morning at 11. So, Leah, do you have anything that you're thankful for, even in the tidal wave of garbage that was 2017?
I do. I have to say, all kidding aside, This year, yeah, has been super garbage. it's just been one shitty thing after another. Mm-hmm. But it has been nice to sort of realize that, like, one of the things that has come to the forefront for me is, like, being more earnest, or maybe if not being more earnest myself, at least, like, appreciating earnestness in a way I haven't before. I've always sort of, like, I don't know, I guess this is the progression of my Noah Baumbach movie. I've always sort of, like, shied from that. And now in 2017, I'm like, it's nice to see people being real and just, like, being nice and fucking, like, having no guile about stuff. So in that spirit, the first thing that I'm thankful for, no kidding, is the GQ profile of Dwayne Johnson. And everybody laughs when I say that.
I'm starting to feel bad because the first thing on my list was literally Jason Momoa's Instagram feed. And I was like, oh, I'm going to sound like such an asshole.
No, literally every single time I read that article, I can't help but smile. Because The Rock, a.k.a. Dwayne Johnson, is so delightful. And Katie Weaver, who wrote the piece, just give her the fucking Pulitzer now. Like, she is winking and arch and, like, the exact opposite of how, like, guileless and charming Dwayne Johnson seems. Mm-hmm. And it all works perfectly. And it makes me smile every fucking time I read it. That her description of his calves as, like, night flowing over mountains in Hawaii, while hers look like a roll of toilet paper, like the inside of a roll of toilet paper. It's just, the whole thing's a fucking delight. And it has brought me a lot of joy. And I have reread it many, many times this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, okay. No, I like that. And I think that's really not, it's nice to be thankful for that. And you're giving a gift to our listeners that, you know, that's something that they can enjoy.
Yeah. And
right now, and feel a little bit less dark in this dark
world.
I
will tweet it out. But also, let me just go on a brief tangent here. My husband keeps saying that my, you know, in the tidal wave of shit that has hit this year, he says, your world's really going to be rocked when the, like, sexual harassment revelations out against The Rock. And I'm just going on the record. I've told so many people this. Like, I've forced this theory on so many people for the last few weeks. I don't believe, and I'm not being, like, willfully obtuse, I don't believe that will ever happen. I don't believe The Rock has ever harassed or abused anyone in his entire life. And I have a theory as to why. It's because when you are, like, so if you're, like, a mediocre man or whatever, like, that's just sort of the baseline. Like, that's the due that you're given, right? Like, it's just the societal fabric is that everything's catered to you. And I feel like Dwayne Johnson, A, being, like, poor, being a man, like, growing up as, like, somebody of color, and B, then being this, like, giant fucking slab of granite of a man, has always been different enough that he has had to think about, like, how he is in the world, and he's aware of how he is in the world. Mm-hmm. And then I think that that makes you less likely to, I don't know, like, be an asshole to others. You're just, like, aware of yourself in a way that a lot of people aren't asked to be, because the entire world has been built to cater to you.
Yeah.
So I'm
sounds plausible.
Going on the record and saying that he has never harassed anyone. Do not at me if you have a fucking harassment story about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because I cannot take it.
Yeah, not this year, you guys. Yeah, I've tried to keep this TV related tangentially TV related, but, I am thankful for Jason Mantzoukas' appearance, however brief, on Transparent. And I hope that in season 5, his character replaces Jeffrey Tambor's character.
Jason Mantzoukas also doing amazing work in I'm Sorry, the heavily watched show on that. True TV.
And you recommended The House this weekend, and I am going to watch the shit out of that.
Light recommendation. I specifically said it was not the worst way I've ever spent $6. Jason Mantzoukas is very funny and trumps my fucking, like, hatred of Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Okay.
And Amy Poehler.
And I like Will Ferrell, so. You don't like Amy Poehler?
No, I love Will. I love, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. Amy Poehler and Jason Mantzoukas were enough to overcome my hatred of Will Ferrell.
I'm thankful for some shows this year that focused on women and not men and their stupid garbage problems, like Glow, Chewing Gum, Feud, Girls, Big Little Lies, One Mississippi, and The OA,
which
we talked about a year ago. I'm thankful for Chris Hayes and John Oliver doing God's work on the mainstream garbage media. I am thankful for Check Please Bay Area still being the realest 22 minutes of human drama Absolutely. Every week on your TV. And I am thankful that we got to see Bruno Mars.
Yes.
And that this Wednesday at 10 p.m. on CBS, I'm going to see Bruno Mars live at the Apollo. I had to kick a lot of stuff off my DVR to make sure that that got recorded.
Yes.
Sorry, Mr. Worth Robot. It. And yeah. And I'm thankful for Love It or Leave It, which is not a TV show, but I look forward to the day it becomes one.
Yes. Podcasts were on my list of things I'm thankful for, yeah. As, you know, Love It or Leave It, including the theme song, which is the catchiest theme song of any podcast ever. I am also thankful for some shows.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for Master of None season 2,
oh, God,
which
yes.
was a beautiful, beautiful show that really like restored my faith in people.
Yeah.
And Aziz Ansari especially. And The Detectorists, which we have yeah. talked about ad nauseum this year as being like the equivalent of a bath of Xanax that I really needed. I'm thankful for the Women's March, which yeah. also made me weep, not in a sad way, for the future of our country. And I'm thankful for this is only mildly embarrassing. I'm thankful for 13 Reasons Why, which led me into my first true crush, as in like high school crush, like had like wanted to write people's names all over like my binder of Dylan Minnette, yeah. which was brief, but it burned bright. And I feel like 2017 yeah. was so fucking trash that it made me want to revert to being an actual teenager so I could have a chance at finding joy in the world again.
That's a real low point.
Yeah.
Are you thankful for Dylan Minnette about to turn 21 years old?
No, Jess, no, I'm not
okay.
over that. I'm better now.
Cool.
I'm also thankful for, in that same vein of like things being earnest, I'm very thankful for Riz Ahmed and his doe-like eyes mm-hmm. every time they appeared on TV. Also very soothing to me.
Yeah.
He has a very calming, soothing presence. Every time he appeared on something, it was made better.
Yeah.
This season when he was on Girls, he was amazing.
Amazing.
When he
Girls.
Appeared in the OA, he elevated that show for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see a little more of Riz Ahmed. I'm thankful for Ronan Farrow and the great work that he's doing.
Yes.
He is allowed to stay in my new yeah. world where no men exist.
One of the good ones. One
and I'm
very,
thankful
very
for Busy Phillips' Instagram stories, which have brought me so much joy this year. I'm also thankful for Nicole Cliff's Twitter feed,
mm-hmm.
Which is using Twitter for its highest use. It's just asking people questions that bring up lovely stories in the responses and giving lots of beauty product recommendations, which I appreciate.
Oh, I'm going to have to get in on that.
Yeah. She actually has a tiny letter that she's coming out with that you can subscribe to, with filled with all of her beauty recommendations.
Okay.
So I recommend that. I am also grateful for the word Alora, which was presented to me during Master of None season 2. Alora,
oh, yeah.
which I have used frequently and always inappropriately. I don't actually know what it means, but it has a nice sound to it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm grateful for good meals. I'm grateful for family, friends, blah, blah, blah.
That's nice.
But yeah, mainly that GQ profile of The Rock, which I will tweet
okay.
out. Cool. Which has been like a balm to my soul, you guys. It yeah. really has. Also, in that same vein, though, let's not sleep on the GQ profile of Tom Hiddleston.
That was also just A++
which
journalism.
Get Katie Weaver and the British journalist who wrote the profile of Tom Hiddleston
yeah.
working for the fucking New York Times, and we'll turn this ship around, you guys.
Yeah. That Tom Hiddleston profile did, like, it made it clear how hard it is to be around Tom Hiddleston. Like, and you know, you were talking about earnestness and
yes.
trying to eschew yeah. cynicism earlier, and I think that's important. I feel like we are headed towards a very dark, cynical time, and it's if there's going to be any hope, you need to try to fight against that. But Tom Hiddleston is fighting it too hard.
Yeah.
And reading that article, you know, when you're around someone and they're just like
it makes you cringe.
Unpredictable,
yeah.
like in that way, it's like they're going to, I don't know. He's like that kind of person. Reading the article, I felt like I was standing next to him, like waiting for him to say some, like ask me some really personal
yeah,
question.
Yeah, to peer because, into your
yeah,
eyes
exactly.
and maintain intense eye contact
yeah.
throughout the entire exchange,
yeah.
which is mainly like, Will you please pass the roll? Yeah. Like, in a, like, he tries, yeah, he's one of those people who tries to make every interaction the most memorable interaction of your life, and it's too much.
It seems like a true nightmare.
Yeah.
Much, I have a higher level of respect for Taylor Swift after reading that article.
No.
Anything else? Anything you're looking forward to in 2018? Should we last that long?
Oh, God.
You turned me on to Smilf, which is a Showtime show, and that is a delight, and I'm looking forward to talking about that in 2018.
Yeah, I like that. I am looking forward to seeing sort of what comes next. I'm looking forward to the midterms, strange as that may seem.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tentatively hopeful that Virginia was a bellwether and is sort of showing the shift. And, yeah, I'm hopeful that... that fucking sentient bag of Cheetos that's currently in the White House.
Semi-sentient.
Is on a downward slope, and it really is coming to the end of that. I'm hopeful that things are going to turn around. I'm inspired by the level of activism and like the level of good people genuinely trying to make a difference.
Yeah.
And I'm also hopeful that the trend of all these sexual harassers and abusers and worse being outed and facing consequences is not a flash in the pan. And I'm hopeful that that makes more space for women to tell their stories.
Yeah, this is it's crushing to learn about so many people that you've admired that they are actual monsters. Uh-huh. But if it leads to, like, literally all men being removed from power, then I think it's for the best.
Yeah, and also it's, you know, people were talking, it's already sort of started with the backlash of, like, you know, can't tar everyone with the same brush and blah, blah, blah.
Sure,
and
you can.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time.
Yeah.
You had your shot. Chance. Sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You had your chance and you blew it.
But yeah, there's been that backlash, and it's like, oh, you know, think, and all the think pieces about, like, how do you separate the man from the artist? Like, how do you separate the art from the artist? And can't we still appreciate Louis C.K. without, like, condoning what he did and all that? And it's like, sure, there's all that, but then let's give every one of those women who fucking stopped doing comedy a shot.
Yeah,
now let's, like, give them a fucking pass. And Helen Peterson, who's a writer for BuzzFeed, had an article today about the 10 years of trying to make Armie Hammer happen, and about how, like, nobody gets a pass, like, rich, handsome white men, in every society, in every walk of life, in every everything, but, you know, especially in Hollywood, like, he has had failure after failure after failure, and it's not even, this is not about Armie Hammer, this is just the thing where, like, we just keep trying to make the same thing happen, and it's time. I really hope that all the shit that's coming down now is going to result in real consequences where things genuinely change and people are trying to, like, do things differently. I hope that Netflix's bags of money extend to, like, women.
Right.
I'm interested in that new show. I believe it's called Godless, about it.
Oh, I've heard about that show.
Of all women.
Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant just because I saw a breakdown where it's, you know, a town filled with only women. And, there's, like, I don't know, 27 lines spoken by women and the rest are, like, voiceover, like, with men talking about it. So I just feel like if that doesn't sum up 2017, what does?
But it'll give us something to rant about, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to all that in 2018.
Yeah.
And if it all fucking fails, I don't know. I mean, there's got to be something. But
I'm looking forward to American Horror Story Versace. So yeah. At least we'll have that.
Yes, and Waco with Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes, that's coming out January 6th. And it's not American. It's American Crime. It's the second, like, the true crime.
Oh, right. No.
Versace. Thing.
American Crime is American Crime Story. It's American Versace's also
Crime
out.
Story Versace.
Anyway.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to Waco with Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, fuck
and
yeah.
That is impeccable casting Tim Riggins as a cult leader. Hell yeah.
He actually plays
David Koresh. Wow. Yeah, it's gonna be great. I cannot wait.
Okay. Oh, now things are looking up. All right, we're gonna go out with another song from this year that I loved, and we're thankful for you guys, our listeners.
Yes. Oh, and yeah, we're super thankful for BFF.fm and the amazing work that BFF does in the community and giving everyone who loves music a chance to play music that they love, to introduce you guys to new music. And it's just really an amazing community. This week, Tuesday, is Giving Tuesday, hashtag Giving Tuesday, where you can donate. And I believe Amazon matches all your donations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the BFF.fm page, I believe there's instructions on how you can give to BFF.
Yeah, you can go to BFF.fm/donate. And it is tax deductible.
It is tax deductible. So
yeah, thank you guys for your listening and for your support. We love you very much. And we love talking about TV and other stuff with you. So tune in next week. Stay tuned for Indie Rock Radio Girl. And we're going to be back next week with more. We've got our schedule planned out for the rest of the year.
We do.
So I'm not exactly sure what we're talking about next week, but it's something on our schedule.
We know what it is.
Yeah,
you
it's
guys.
There. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back next week.
The damage that we've done don't look so bad when we block out the sun. So why fight? And from the absence of sound, how can you pine for the clangor all your pain.